This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
And coming up right now is the Space Show. So on tonight's show, Australian Space News. First up then, let's go with some Australian Space News. Equatorial Launch Australia is a company that operates a spaceport in Arnhem Land. The company has announced a deal with the Korean company InnoSpace that will see several variants of rockets place payloads of between 50 and 500 kilograms into low Earth orbit. Launches will start in 2025 after the Australian Space Agency grants a launch permit. InnoSpace plans an increasing cadence of launches over the next 5 years.
Hi, I'm Michael Jones. I'm the Executive Chairman and Chief Executive of Equatorial Launch Australia. And today we're announcing a very exciting event in our history. We're announcing that we have signed a multi-year, multi-launch deal with InnoSpace, company from Korea, who has already successfully launched a hybrid fuel rocket into space, the first hybrid fuel rocket that has actually reached space. It's a very exciting announcement from our perspective and really has gone a long way to validating both our business plan and, you know, our method of operations into the future. We believe that this announcement today, which includes the establishment of a workforce of InnoSpace in Australia at their Space Launch Complex at the Arnhem Space Centre in the Northern Territory. But it also moves forward for us in the perspective of being able to now prove to other customers the concept of what we're offering and for us to move forward. This launch and the announcement that we've made is also, you know, very rewarding for all our staff who behind the scenes have been working on the next stages of development, the technology and the design, the licensing and all the regulatory aspects that go with operating a complex space launch aspect. The activities that we undertake and those of our customers are really challenging, both from a, you know, perspective of technology, but also, you know, making the financials and the commercial aspects of it work. So we're very encouraged by this announcement, and we expect to make quite a few more by the end of this calendar year.
One of the problems long-term missions on the lunar surface is how to solve the two-week-long lunar nights and the cold of it. Well, temperatures can drop to near absolute zero, destroying batteries and electronic circuits. During the 1970s, two Soviet Lunokhod rovers survived many months on the moon because they had radioisotopes that kept them warm. Now, an Adelaide-based company has picked up this idea. The company, called ENTX, that's a diminutive E-N-T, and a capital X, will work with the universities of South Australia and Southern Queensland to develop pioneering energy technology. ENTX will prototype a radioisotope heater unit supported technologically platform to provide thermal management. The heater will use isotopes that have a half-life that is ideal for missions lasting 1 to 5 years. The beta-emitting isotopes are safer than the plutonium used in radioisotope thermoelectric generators. Beta rays are fast-moving electrons emitted from the nuclei of decaying atoms. Not that ENTX is ignoring the use of radioisotope thermoelectric generators to power spacecraft and landers. Working with the University of Southern Queensland, ENTX will develop high-performance thermoelectric materials and components. The University of Adelaide's Plants for Space program has attracted investment from the United Kingdom Space Agency. The project will research the design requirements for a fully autonomous agriculture system that can be monitored and operated remotely or with artificial intelligence. The system will be used to support future space explorations, including NASA's future Moon to Mars Artemis missions. A South Australian space technology company, Newman Space, has signed two new partnership agreements. One is with the United Kingdom company Surrey Satellite Technology Limited, who build small satellites. Under the agreement, Newman will provide one of its plasma engines for Surrey's CubeSAR satellite. The synthetic aperture radar satellite is scheduled for launch in the second half of next year. Newman already has a propulsion module on one of the Skycraft aeronautical satellites that was launched in May. The second agreement will see Newman work with Queensland-based rocket company Gilmour Space Technologies to develop a more powerful version of the revolutionary Newman Drive. This version would be suitable for use by small sats, which are more massive than CubeSats. And the company from South Australia, Southern Launch, and the Kunuba Community Aboriginal Corporation have received planning consent to build a permanent suborbital launch facility. This will be at the Kunuba Test Range in coastal South Australia. Southern Launch has booked a German space agency, DLR, to launch its REFEX mission later this year. Additionally, the United Kingdom-based company Spaceforge plans to use Kunuba as a spacecraft re-entry point. The CEO of Southern Launch describes their orbital and suborbital facilities.
So thanks for having me along tonight. My first time as well being involved with your group, so I look forward to further engagement. Southern Launch is not a rocket company. We're not building payloads or satellites, but we are building the facilities to help people get to space. So we're hoping to close the loop between the small satellite growth that's happening at the moment and getting safe and timely access to space. We started about 3 years ago in 2017. Lloyd founded it and is now our CEO. And as you look at the coastline around Australia, you see that compared to other launch sites around the world that show major shipping traffic and major air traffic densities, there's very little traffic at the bottom of South Australia, which is where Lloyd ended up deciding that there was a great opportunity to provide a launch facility that would not be restricted by limitations on flight traffic, maritime traffic, pesky population areas. You can launch to the south, and the next destination is Antarctica, which is 3,000 kilometres away. So very safe, very accessible. The site is just near Port Lincoln. If you look at the maps down the bottom there, you can see Adelaide's about a 35-minute flight away to the east, and Whalers Way, which is the launch site that we're building, is about a 35-minute drive just south of Port Lincoln. Port Lincoln is well serviced by air traffic, by having a good port, and it's a 16,000 population there, so it has all the things that you need in terms of industrial support, accommodation, schools, all the things that you might need if you're operating a campaign in this part of the world for your staff to come out and be a part of that. We are looking at, I guess, a gold, silver and bronze build of the site, and we have some architect's drawings just shown on the left there of a fairly basic facility, which will have an assembly building, a launch pad, the fueling capabilities for bunding, and other bits and pieces that are required. And depending on the requirements that we find from our customers, we'll determine to what level of build we go with. At the moment, we are considered a major project by the South Australian government. And so the South Australian Premier has put together a task force so that all the different agencies who have to sign off on that development in the one room, and hopefully that helps us get that development move forward as quickly as possible. We have about 6 kilometres of coastline, and we believe that over time we've got the space, and if the demand is there, the capability to build multiple launch sites along that south-facing coastline. We have 1,200 hectares of land, and the launch trajectories, we can do anything really from full retrograde through sun synchronous, polar, and down to about 60 degrees where we're limited by Kangaroo Island. So that's the Whalers Way orbital facility, which we expect to be operational in Q1 of next year. Obviously, a couple of things that are beyond our control at the moment, COVID-19 being one, and the other is the development application being approved, and then we need our launch facility license, and then we need launch permits for the launch vehicles. But we have a customer called Perigee Aerospace who will be launching with us around Q2 of next year, a South Korean company, launching a small 50-kilogram lift vehicle, and so they'll be one of our first customers from this site. The other thing to tell you is that we're also building a suborbital launch facility, a test range near Sejuna, a little further west from Whalers Way. It'll be one of the longest civilian overland rocket ranges available, up to about 145 kilometres trajectory to the north, and it is into pretty much uninhabited national park. To the north of that is the Woomera prohibited area, and certainly for some defence activities, it may be feasible to extend the range into that area. So two areas that we're developing, an orbital facility near Port Lincoln, and then this test range for testing suborbital vehicles and being able to recover them into the north. So that's it from me.
Kerry Doughty.
Okay.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, Kerry
yes,
first.
Kerry. Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. My question was directed towards David for Southern Launch.
Actually, it's Peter. It's
I'm
Peter.
Sorry,
we,
Peter.
We had a last minute substitution.
Yes, that's right. I'm sorry,
David,
Peter.
Yeah.
You still there?
Yes, Kerry, go ahead.
Okay. Look, I just noticed with the Cunibba range, it looks like your downrange passes over Maralinga, the old Maralinga site. Now, what are the sort of issues surrounding that? What about recovery if something falls short in that area?
Yeah, so obviously safety is the primary concern of any launch. There are a number of sites that we need to be cognizant of. There's an old disused mine but still has a couple of staff on it. There are some homesteads, and so before you can do a launch, obviously you need to have been in touch with those people and had the necessary activities removed from the downrange area. We'll also be able to ensure that we're targeting in the right direction. So all of the analysis will be done to look at drop zones and where they fall. So the azimuth that we might choose for a launch will again be dictated by the range of the vehicle and where it might drop.
Someone asked, I think Peter asked about any plans for expansion to northern Australia.
Yeah, look. The site that we have is obviously suitable for polar and sun synchronous type launches and orbits. We can't, from that site, do anything that would be approaching equatorial without going over Adelaide, which wouldn't be well received. We don't have any plans ourselves to tackle the equatorial launch requirements at this stage. Some of you will be aware that Equatorial Launch Australia is a company that's building an equatorial capability up in Arnhem Land. And so we see that as, to some extent, complementary to what we're doing, so that if we have opportunities that are polar or sun synchronous, then obviously that's it's easy for us. If someone wants equatorial from us, we would say, well, no, we can't do that. But there's another site within Australia that could do it. I also understand that Queensland has looked at having a site, but I'm not quite sure where that's up to.